Amen. It's hard not to sing, but I knew if I sing, I'm not going to have much voice left to preach, so I did a little bit. But looking forward to getting into the Word. Before we do that, we dismiss our children. For Children's Church, they can head on out at this time. Their teachers are already heading out the door. Let's bless them as they go out. Amen. We love our kids. Amen. I don't know about you. You don't get to see them, but I get to see them skipping on out the door, you know. We ought to have that kind of joy. Amen. You ought to come skipping in the door to worship the Lord. Amen. 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 I'm going to ask Brother Mike to come pray over the Word this morning.
Father, we come to you and we just acknowledge who you are. Father, after singing that song, I can't help but think of your majesty. Father, I ask that you would work through your servant, Pastor Tom. Lord, I ask that you would give him the strength to endure with his voice. Lord, I pray that you would sustain him so that he could speak to us words that you have for us, Lord. I ask that we would not only be doers of the word or hearers of the word, but doers of the word, as your word says in James, Lord, that faith without works is dead. I ask that it would just go down deep inside of us, Lord, and that we would just be humble enough to let it work its way out through our hands, and that we would see you work through us by the power of your Spirit. We ask all these things in your precious Son's name, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you haven't turned already in your Bible to John, the Gospel of John, please do so. And in the bulletin as well as an outline that will go along with today's sermon. John chapter 14, we have been looking at a series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit over the past few weeks, really, with a few interruptions in between. And you might ask, as a couple of people have asked me over the past weeks, they said, well, Pastor, you've been preaching on the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Why have you been doing that so much? It's because, as we have seen, that God desires to fill all of His people with His Spirit so that He can accomplish His work. God wants to fill all of us with His Spirit so that He can accomplish His work of making His name known and Christ's gospel known in the earth. And you see, because everything that God does on the earth, He does by His Spirit. Everything that God does on the earth, He does by His Spirit. And as a bit of review, we saw this several weeks ago. We began this series, and we saw that God sent His Spirit, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, sent His Spirit upon the dark waters of the deep, upon the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering upon the waters, and you get the sense that something magnificent was about to happen. And God then forms the earth through the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one who is the agent of God doing His creating work upon the earth. And you see, God does by His Spirit all things upon the earth. God will do all things in my life and in your life by His Spirit. And that's what He desires for you and for me. He wants to fill us with the Spirit. Now you receive the gift of His Spirit. The person of the Spirit comes into you when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. When you repent of your sins, repent of your unbelief, repent of your self-will, and you surrender your life to Christ, and when you invite Him to come in, He comes in by His Spirit. But you are filled with the Spirit more and more as you and I surrender more and more control of our lives. Because being filled with the Spirit is not a substance. It is not an it. No, He is the person of Christ within us by His Spirit. And the more we surrender our will, the more the Spirit works in us. The more He controls us. So being filled is an issue of control and an issue of surrender. And so we've been looking at the work of the Spirit. We saw Moses in Numbers chapter 11. Moses is weary. He has been wore out with the Israelites and their stiff-necked and stubborn ways. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you some help, Moses. He says, I want you to get 70 elders of all the tribes, and I'm going to take of the Spirit that is on you, and I'm going to put that same Spirit on them. And Moses cries out, oh God, that you would put your Spirit on all your people on the earth. And God says, I hear you, Moses. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Then we saw Ezekiel's prophecy, Ezekiel 36, how God prophesies through Ezekiel that He's going to cleanse our hard hearts from all the impurities and all the idols, all the sin. He's going to give us a new heart of flesh. A heart of flesh is moldable, that will move with God's desires. And He can put a new spirit and remove that heart of stone. And then in verse 27, this incredible prophecy through Ezekiel, He says, and I'm going to put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my ways. And we saw how God, that word move, God means He's going to make it happen, that which could not happen any other way. He's going to bring it about. He's going to make it happen in our lives. Then we combine Ezekiel's prophecy with Jeremiah's prophecy, Jeremiah 31, and it said that God now will make a new covenant with His people. He's going to make a new covenant because His people broke the old covenant. You remember He said to the people, I will be your God, and I've called you out of all the peoples of the earth, Abraham and his descendants, I've called you to be my chosen people. And out of all the peoples on the earth, you will be my treasured possession, but you must obey me. You must follow my ways and obey my laws. And they said, we'll do it. But how many of you know that the Israelites are just like you and me, even when we say, we'll do it? Most of the time, we don't. Most of the time, we break the rules, so to speak. And as Paul testifies in Romans 7, he says, the things that I hate, I do those things. And the things that I want to do, I don't do them. What a wretched man I am. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has rescued me from this body of death. See, the new covenant, God says, I'm going to make a new covenant, and I'm going to take this heart of stone out of you, and I'm going to put my law into your minds and write it on your hearts. I will be your God, you will be my people. I'm going to take my law, and I'm going to put it on your heart and in your mind. How does He do that? By putting His Spirit in us. See, God's Spirit is the agent of God's work. And in this context, He is the agent of the new covenant. And He puts His laws, God's will, God's desire in us. So that internally we follow the Lord. Not externally. Not by laws, not by rules, not by regulations. You see, God puts it in us rather than setting it before us, because He showed us that by the law, by the external law, that it actually made us sin more. Remember in Romans chapter 6, it says, God added the law so that sin could become utterly sinful. We would see it. Therefore, God's people would not be governed by the law, but by the Spirit in their lives. And so we are. The Spirit comes into us and affects the new covenant into us. It's not just that He forgives us of our sin. That's one aspect of it, but that's not all of it. No, He comes in, we are forgiven, and then He fills us with His Spirit to give us a new life and to give us a new power. He actually puts the mind of Christ, and it is overlaid upon this old mind, and it begins to transform us, transform our thinking, so that we want to follow the Lord. We do things because we want to. If you're at a point in your life where you think that, well, I've got to follow God because if I don't, man, He is going to get me. If I don't follow God, if I don't follow His law, He is just waiting for the hammer to fall. One more time, This is how God think of people think of God sometimes. One more time, mister, ma'am, one more time, and the hammer's going to fall. Aren't you glad we don't serve a God like that? He has every right to. It is true that we have sinned and we have all fallen short of God's laws and His ways and His standards. But He already knows that, and so He's made a new covenant. He's brought about a new covenant. He says, on the basis of Jesus' faithfulness, Christ's faithfulness, I'm going to trade you. I'll trade you your sin for Christ's faithfulness. That's the new covenant. And so now, by the Spirit within us, we live in the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. We follow after the Spirit. We keep in step by the Spirit. On and on and on as we read in the New Testament. Each writer has different ways of expressing it. We are not to grieve the Spirit in our lives. We are to grow by the Spirit. Peter says this, that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We are to grow in it. How do we do that? Well, we're going to talk about that today. So that brings us from the prophecies of the Spirit to number 5, Jesus' promise. And we began on this last week, the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. So in John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He says this. Look with me, beginning at verse 15. And if we could put that up on the screen, let's read verses 15 through 17. John chapter 15, chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Let's begin. If you love Me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Stop right there. The disciples had already begun to experience the Spirit through the ministry of Jesus, through the person of Jesus. They began to see Jesus' miracles. They saw Jesus heal sick people, open blind eyes, even raise sick people from the dead. They saw miracles happen. And over every time we're told by the power of the Spirit, Jesus did His miracles. Jesus did His ministry by the power of the Spirit. And you see, the disciples already were familiar with the workings of the Spirit, but now Jesus says something unbelievable to them. Jesus begins to speak to them about the fulfillment of these prophecies. He says, I'm going to send you the Counselor, and He's going to be with you, and He will be in you forever. The Spirit was with them in the person of Christ. Now, this same Spirit, watch this, you still with me? Say amen. The same Spirit by which Jesus did miracles, raised the dead, preached and taught, was going to be with them, in them, forever. The same Spirit. In fact, we're told in Ephesians chapter 1 that the same Spirit, watch this, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you and me. Oh God, I got these problems in my life. Hey, I know You can't do anything about them, God. I've got to figure it out. I've got to get it right. I've got to get it worked out. Really? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within you. And you think He can't solve the problems you have in your life? You think He can't overcome the things that you're dealing with and struggling with in your life? The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is at work in you and me. Where's our faith? We got to get our eyes off of the problems and get our eyes on God's truth, because He says the Spirit within you will do all things. He will lead you into all things. He will guide you. He will teach you. You see, here's the problem with us as humans. When we have our eyes on the problems, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And what do? We talk about them. Oh, man, I have this problem. I have this issue. And you go around and you talk to everybody about it. Okay? Maybe it's something, you know, you've been dealing with. God's been helping you with it. You know, but you talk about it as if it still is rather than it was. You see, we're told, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, all people in Christ are what? A new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Old things are gone. The new has come. You see, we have to put our faith into action. Instead of speaking about our problems, our issues, as if they are, and saying, God, I know you can't do anything about this. I'm stuck. You know, I'm never going to change. I'm never going to overcome this, God. It's like God's like, what? How many times did Jesus rebuke his disciples because of their lack of faith? Now, please understand, I'm not talking about a faith formula. But I'm talking about agreeing with God's Word. Jesus said it many times. He said, with man, nothing is impossible, but with God, what? All things are possible. And see, in your own strength, no, you won't be able to overcome things. You won't be able to see things change and transform your life. No, not in your own strength. But if you are filled with His Spirit, because that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within you and me. And if I'm filled with that Spirit, He's going to bring it about in my life. He is going to bring about God's will in your life and my life so that, watch this, not just so that you can be free of your problems. You know, that's the popular message out there today. That's a benefit, a side benefit of following Christ, that God will work with you and walk through all your issues with you. Why? So that you can proclaim His faithfulness to others. So that you can proclaim His name to others. So that you can share the gospel of Christ with other people. You see, it's not just so God can solve your problems. God is not our big problem solver in the sky. And God does not work just, you know, for us. No, it's not. He's got a plan. He's bringing about His plan and purposes that He's had from the beginning of time. So that Christ's name can be glorified among the nations. So that the gospel can do its work of bringing men and women and children to Christ. And so Jesus says these incredible words. He says, the Spirit is going to be in you forever. Now, let's press on. Look with me at verse 20. Jesus says this. Read it with me. Verse 20. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Wow. Wow. On that day, what day? When the Spirit comes. When the Spirit comes in all its fullness, and we know that happens at the day of Pentecost. And hopefully we'll get to that this morning. My voice holds out, and your attention span holds out. On that day, when the Spirit comes in His fullness and fills His people, on that day, you will realize, you will understand that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and watch this, I am in you. Can you just see the disciples sitting there listening to Jesus? They're like, huh? What? How are you going to be in us, Jesus? That doesn't make any sense. He says, I know. I know you don't understand, but you will. You will. And He even says it in a different way in just a moment. You're going to be in me, and I am going to be in you. Why and how can we be forgiven? How is it possible that we can be forgiven? It's because this Jesus comes into us by His Spirit. How can you and I understand God's truth, God's Word? It's because that same Spirit that cleanses us of our sins, forgives us, and begins to cleanse our mind, helps us to understand truth. Then, watch this, not just understand it, you see, Christianity is not a head game. Christianity is not just knowing certain doctrines. Thank you, brother. Is that some of that living water? Amen. How can I be forgiven? Because this Jesus comes in by the Spirit, and the Spirit cleanses me. He activates the new covenant within me. He is the agent of the new covenant in me. How can I be set free? How can I change? How can I be transformed? How can I overcome? Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead comes to live in you and me. The same Spirit that performed miracles, that set people free, is in you and in me. And He will do in your life and my life what we cannot do ourselves. Amen? He will do it. So let me ask you a question. Have you come to Christ? Have you received the gift of His Spirit? And then have you laid your life before and said, I want all of you, Lord. Take all of me. Lord, I want to surrender everything within me. Lord, I don't want these areas in my life that I hold on to. I don't want these strongholds that I have. I don't want this junk that's weighed me down. I don't want these addictions that have held me. Lord, I don't want these besetting sins that I've had. I don't want them, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Take this away. Work a work in me, Lord. Is that your heart this morning? If that's you, God will do it. He's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter if you're here with a jeans and a shirt or a jacket and a tie. It doesn't matter. God, listen, by the way, you need to know this. God could care less how you dress. Now, don't come in, you know, with immodest clothes, because Pastor Tom cares about that. God, you know, He sees you naked. Now, I'm just trying to make sure y'all awake. Yeah, some of you looking at me like, what are you talking about? God sees you without your clothes. God sees right straight through everything we wear. And the church face too. Sees right into your heart. He knows exactly what's going on in your life, you see? It doesn't matter how you dress. See, I go to some churches and everybody's in a suit and tie. You know, sharp as a tack. And the ladies, man, they're dressed to the hilt. They got hats on. You go near them, boy, you're going to get attacked by a hat. You know what? God could care less about that stuff. He really could. I see my brother here today in shorts and a shirt. I can't even read that name. What's that team?
Champions.
Okay. I'm glad my brother's here. And it makes no difference to me how he's dressed that way. If you're here, I could care less how you're dressed. You know, we don't want to dress immodestly, obviously. I've heard many people, you know, that you've invited and you've told me, you said, you know, well, they want to come, but they don't really have any church clothes. What are church clothes? One of these times I'm going to come in jeans and a t-shirt and preach like that. And some of you all get all offended at me and upset, but you know what? God doesn't care how you dress. He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care where you've come from. He doesn't care what's happened in your life, what kind of sin you've committed, where you've come from, your background, your pedigree, anything. He wants to do a work in your life, in my life. How you received Christ this morning. Have you come to that? That's just the start of the journey. You start by receiving Christ. You come to that place where you repent of your sins. And you bow the knee before Christ and you say, Lord, I need to be forgiven. Of all of my sins, I need to have you as my Savior and my Lord. Please come into my life. That's step one. And step two is, Lord, I surrender everything. Fill me with your Spirit. And you see, we're filled then we're filled again, and we're filled again. The more you surrender, the more you're filled. The more you surrender, the more you're controlled by the Spirit. Then look with me at verses 26 and 27. Let's read that together. Actually, begin at verse 25, please. Verse 25 of chapter 14. Let's begin that. All this I have spoken while still with you. We're not there yet. Here we are. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Stop right there. Jesus is saying to us, when this Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will teach us all things. Well, Pastor, I just don't know anything about the Bible. I just don't know much about God. And how could I ever share this with anybody else? I just feel so inadequate. You know what? The Holy Spirit will teach you if you let Him, and if you will apply yourself. Now, it's just like a student who won't go to school, or a student who goes to school and skips classes. That's not going to work. You can't skip classes on Jesus. You got to wake up in the morning and get to class. Amen? You got to wake up in the morning and get into the Word. Right? Jesus says, not only will He teach us all things, He will remind you of everything that I have said to you. He's talking to His disciples, and we talked about this last week at the very end. The disciples were with Him for 3 years. And Jesus spoke a myriad of things to them. Okay? Jesus is not with us physically, but we have his words written down here. If you have one of these study Bibles, do you notice that some of these words are in red letters? That means they are direct quotes. They are quoting what Jesus has said. Now, you may not have a Bible that has the red letter edition in it, but these are the words that Jesus spoke. How can we know it? Because his apostles, four of them, plus the many, many other apostles, wrote these things down, and they double-checked each other. You could say, oh, well, how do we know the Bible's true? You know the Bible's true because, number one, the prophecies are fulfilled. What God has said has come true. There isn't any errors in it. It's funny, I've talked to people, and they said, you know, I'm not sure if I can believe the Bible. There's all these errors in it. I said, really? Well, tell me about them. Can you tell me one of those errors? Well, you know, God made a boat, an ark, so that animals could go in it one, two by two, and how many animals were in there? You know, they go into these silly arguments. It's like, you've never read the Bible, have you? You're saying there's errors in the Bible, but you've never really read it, have you? Have you ever read the Gospel of John? I think so. Probably not. You know, when people start that kind of stuff, just say, really? Tell me where they are. Tell me where those errors are. Now, you might find somebody very intelligent who thinks they got you, and they'll tell you where an error is. You know what? When that happens, you say, you know what? I'm going to talk with one of my elders about that and get back to you. I'm going to talk with Pastor Tom. I'm going to talk with Pastor Ashley. I'm going to talk with my friend who knows the Bible really well and get back to them and say, okay, I'll get back to you on that. It's okay to say that. In the meantime, don't let that kind of stuff throw you. Get into the Word. This is God's Word. This is truth. Here's what Jesus said. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So, am I going to listen to a person who has an objection, who's got a little pea brain, mine's about that small, a little pea brain and has this objection, and tell you that, you know, God's word's not true? Are you going to listen to Jesus who says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away? Who are you going to listen to? And so take hold of his word. Lay hold of it. You see, we weren't there to hear Jesus' word, so we have to read it. We have to study it. We have to learn it. Meditate upon it. And as we do that, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will teach us all things. He reminds us because he is the Counselor. Again, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You ever think about that? You have to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Christ. You have to grow. It's not just knowledge, but it is the grace and the knowledge of God. You see, because we understand the knowledge of God tells us things that we can't hardly comprehend. You can't hardly comprehend things. One of the things, for instance, is that in Colossians it says that we have been raised with Christ and we are seated with him in heavenly places. Whew! I don't know about you, but some days I don't feel like I'm seated in heavenly places. Some days I feel like I'm sitting on the ground and all these issues and problems and things are washing over me. I don't feel that way. But you know what? God's word is true. He says, positionally, I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And so Christ is ministering to me. Christ is working in me in ways that I can't even understand. But the Holy Spirit will give you revelation about it. I'm getting ahead of myself. Look with me at verse 26. Verse 26. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. You see, there's the end game. As the disciples were to testify, the apostles, they were called because they became disciples sent with a mission. That's what the word apostle means. By the way, you know, maybe you grew up in a traditional church and, you know, they had holy days for the Apostle Thomas or the Apostle Paul, all these kinds of... Apostle simply means one sent with a mission. So, and sometimes you get people that say, you know, they'll come around, they'll come visit churches. I'm Apostle Tom. I'm Apostle Paul. I'm Apostle John. you know, as if that it makes them something great and something special. It simply means a disciple who's sent with a mission. Guess what? We are all apostles, right? Jesus said it right here, and you must testify also. You are sent with a mission. Listen, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are seeking to follow Him by the power of the Spirit, you have been sent with a mission. He says, you must testify about me. Oh, I can't do that, Pastor. I wouldn't know what to say. It's very easy. Three things. Once I was lost, once I was blind, but because of Jesus, now I see. Once I was lost, once I was in sin, now because of Jesus, I'm forgiven. Once I was lost, once I was powerless, now, because of Jesus, I have power in my life to change. That's what the Holy Spirit brings to you and to me. And then you testify about it. You simply share what you've experienced in your life. And as you've experienced more and more, you testify about it. Now, we're going to press on chapter 16. Look with me at verses 5 following. Beginning at verse 5. Now, I am going to Him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Stop right there. Jesus must go away so that the Counselor could come. Why is that important? Well, think with me for just a minute. Let's just say that all of a sudden, Jesus stands here among us physically. Okay? Let's say, even in His glorified body, all of a sudden Jesus stands here right in front here. I think all of us would, you know, immediately fall on our face before Him, right? But we would want to speak with Him, wouldn't we? I don't know about you, but I love to talk with Jesus face to face. In person. You know, so if Jesus is here, even in His glorified body, even in His glorified state, how many people can He talk to at once? I mean, you know, Lee and David and y'all are going to come and you're going to want to have some conversation with Jesus. You have some questions for Jesus, don't you? Y'all have some questions, right? Most of us have questions. God, I just don't understand the situation here. Can you help me out and understand it? We would line up. This line would be around the room. So let's say in an hour, let's say in 2 or 3, 4 hours time, how many people could Jesus talk to? Let's say there's a 10 or 15 minute conversation. How many people can Jesus talk to? It's limited. Even in His ministry, though He touched thousands over the course of 3 years, He was limited by time and space and by His physical body. Jesus was limited. He's explaining to us that it's better for Him to go away because when His Spirit comes, His Spirit is not limited by time and space. His Spirit is the person of Christ that can come and minister to you and to me. Sometimes during the worship service, you know God is ministering to you. God is encouraging you. He's pouring out His love upon you. He's pouring out His grace upon you. He's drawing you to Himself. And you think you're the only one. You don't know that He's doing that all across this congregation. By His Spirit, He's doing it all at the same time. Why? Because He's not limited. He can do it all by His Spirit. In fact, He can minister to people. Guess what? He can actually minister to people outside this church. Y'all thought God was here and He was limited here. He had to stay here for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. God had to stay here. God got held up. He couldn't go down to the other church because Pastor Tom went late in his preaching. Aren't you glad He's not limited like that? But the Holy Spirit had to come so that He would be able to minister to you and to me. How could He be in each one of us only by His Spirit? So Jesus must go away so that the Spirit can come. Okay? Look at 8, verses 8 through 10 with me. When the Spirit comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, and because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Here's what he will do. And at the first, this is mainly for unbelievers. He's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know, sometimes Christians, they get a little bit overzealous. They get a little bit, you know, overboard. And they think that they have to convict unbelievers of their sin. Let me tell you something. You don't make a very good Holy Spirit. We usually don't do a very good job at it either. You dirty, rotten sinner, you're going to hell if you don't repent. You know. First of all, that's not how Jesus spoke. That's not how Jesus presented the good news. And it's supposed to be good news. The good news was this. I love you. I love you. Come to me. Let me cleanse you of your sins. Let me forgive you of your sins. Let me give you new life. Let me put my spirit in you so that you can be complete. Let me put my spirit in you so that you can be transformed. Let me put my spirit in you so that I can give you my peace. Amen? That's how Jesus speaks to us. Is there an issue of sin that must be dealt with? Yes. And especially for those that would reject Jesus, that would say no. Jesus said, the Spirit's going to convict them. Not of just sin and righteousness, which means our lack of it, but also of judgment. So it's okay to say to an unbeliever who is rejecting Christ, to say, you know, there is a day of judgment. And God will judge each one of us on the basis of whether we receive Christ or not. But, you know, first of all, I hope you take no pleasure in that. I hope you take no glee in that fact. I've heard some preachers preach that, you know, they're like, it's like they take this diabolical glee in telling people how they're going to hell. You remember that famous sermon? Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? It talks about how God is dangling us over hell by the thread of a spider. And we're all about ready to drop and fall into the fires of hell. Jonathan Edwards. It was kind of crazy. In my ninth grade Spanish class, I take that back. She was my Spanish teacher as well. But she was teaching a history class. And to teach us literature of that century, she actually took that sermon and she actually dressed up in a robe and she actually preached that sermon to us. It was kind of bizarre. Of course, that would not be allowed in this day and age, right? She'd be getting sued by the ACLU and all those kind of things. But, you know, that was probably the first time I'd ever listened to that whole sermon. And I was like, wow, man, that's pretty scary. God is dangling me over the fires of hell. I'm hanging on by a spider's thread. Woe is me! You know, you don't need to help God that way. You don't need to help the Holy Spirit convict people. It's fine to say, look, for those who reject Christ, there is going to be a judgment. Just leave it at that. If people ask questions, you can show them in the Scripture where it says that. But let Jesus do His work of convicting unbelievers. You see, for when He convicts them, when He's drawing them, and then unbelievers come, they understand that they are sinners, they understand that they are not righteous because He is, and they understand that they must repent. I mean, I don't know about you. How is it possible that a human can comprehend how to repent? You ever think about that? I mean, just think about when you first came to Christ. I mean, you know, most of us were still clueless when we came to Christ. You know, God, all we knew is that Jesus had forgiven our sins, and we were just so happy and so thankful, and you know, we really weren't thinking about much in our lives. We really weren't thinking about the sin that we were still committing, you know. And as God works with us, He begins to show us, you know, these things, and we're like, uh-oh. Oh, I didn't know. God, I'm sorry. I didn't know that was sin. You know, how does that happen? How does a person come to understand that they are a sinner? By the revelation that the Spirit brings. He helps us to understand the truth. And so we repent. Then verse 12 and 15, and we'll have to end here for today. Verse 12 through 15. Let's read that with me. I have much more to say to you, much more than you can now hear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. Isn't that beautiful? See, He's talking to the disciples in future tense, but we are hearing this knowing that the Spirit is already doing this in you and in me if we've come to Christ. This is how you understand. It is not by human intellect that you understand God's truth and God's Word. No, it is by revelation through the Holy Spirit. He opens our heart and our mind. Back in college days, when I went to Bible college, one of the things that, especially at a Bible college, that Bible students like to do is they like to get into these debates. They like to get into these debates, you know, things like predestination, election, and free will. You know, how is it possible that God predestines us and elects us and we still have to choose Him? How does that work? And of course, you argue day and night over this issue. You know, another fine issue of which many of you have been in this congregation for years are familiar with is the age of the earth. You know, do we have a young earth or do we have an old earth? You know, was creation, it happened in 4004 B.C., or did it happen thousands of years before that? You know, and what part does evolution in the sense of adaptation play into it? And all these silly arguments that people get into, and we wasted so many hours debating back and forth about these things. When, you know what? There's no answer to those things. There's certain issues that are debatable issues, and we waste time debating about those things back and forth. You know, you create more heat than light. You create lots of heat and lots of hot air, but very little light. You see, God is not concerned about us trying to solve those issues. He's more concerned about, are you sharing the hope and the gospel, the truth of Christ, with those people all around you? They're not concerned about how old the earth is. They're really not. And you know, they're not going to be able to understand all the intricacies that you understand about God's predestination and election and man's choice. You see, I know y'all, some of y'all really understand all that, but most people that are coming to Christ, they really don't get that. And you will end up confusing them or scaring them more than you will help them. Stop all that nonsense. Or here's another good one. Argue about that. The only Bible you can use is the King James. Oh, good Lord. As if Paul spoke in King James. You want to get a good, accurate translation, get out the Greek and get out the Hebrew. Okay? That's the most accurate translation. Now, if you can't read that, you can't read Hebrew and you can't read Greek, then get the best available translations. Oh, I stomped on some of y'all's toes and y'all were quiet this morning. But that's a silly argument. And nobody cares about whether you say thee or thou or thouest. They don't care about that. And they've got to be able to understand what you're saying to them. You read in the Bible, thou canst come to Christ if thou wouldst. What are you talking about? People don't get that today. You need to speak in plain English. Now, if you want to study the King James, Brother Johnson, God bless you. If you understand it and you memorize it like I did as a kid, God bless you. I'm not getting on that. That's studying. But I'm talking about making it an issue. Don't do that. Don't do that, folks. How did I get onto that? As Brother Joe Smith said, I moved from preaching to meddling. Bottom line is, God, by His Holy Spirit, wants to do all these things in our life. Will you let Him? He's a gentleman. He is not going to force you. Some of you have been dealing with issues for years in your life, and you don't understand why things won't change. I'm here to tell you it's because you haven't surrendered to God and asked Him to fill you with His Spirit and take that thing out of your life, break it. You're not willing to get here in front of whoever. You know, I just miss the service sometimes and you still won't come. All the other people are out talking and you're worried about what people might think of you. Man, you know, if that's more important to you than what God thinks of you, then you're going to be stuck for a while. But if you want all that God has for you, all the fullness of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you there's an altar here this morning that we're going to open up. I'm going to invite you to come and receive all that God has for you. But you got to be willing to lay it down. You got to be willing to surrender in your life. You got to say, God, I want You more than I want this. I want You in my life, in all Your fullness by Your Spirit, more than I want to hold on to this. That's how you'll get the full blessing of God. Amen? That's how you come to the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. Jesus wants to do amazing things in your life and my life, but He's waiting for you to surrender. Pray with me. Father, I just pray You take my rambling words, Lord. By Your Spirit, Lord, You will make them real to Your people. Lord, to the ones that are struggling this morning. Lord, to the ones that need to come and lay their life down before You. Whether they need to start this journey with You through Christ, receive Christ into their life, or whether, Lord, they need to surrender in a fresh way. Work by Your Spirit. Draw by Your Spirit, Lord. I am so thankful that You do this work in our life, Lord. I am so thankful that You are doing this work in my life. Lord, I know You long to do this in every person's life here. You long for it, Lord. Make us to be willing, yielded vessels. Draw us by Your Spirit, I pray. Let's stand together. We're going to sing that song I've taught you last week, I believe it was. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God, make it ever new. Change my heart, O God. I want to be like You. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. And if that's your cry this morning, and you know you need to lay it down, listen, you know you need to lay it down. You know God is calling you to surrender. I encourage and challenge you and invite you, come on up here with me. Come on up here as we sing together. Let's sing. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. Change my heart, O God. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like You. You are the potter. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. I'm going to ask my elders to come on up to the front and one of our deaconesses to come. And as we pray and close, if you want to come, you want to pray, you need to seek the Lord, you need to surrender, you come. Father, I pray Your ministry of the Holy Spirit upon each one here, Lord. I thank You for the attention of Your people to Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that You have called us to be lovers of Yours. Lord, we want to love You more and more. And we thank You that by the power of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit, we can love You. And we can serve You. And we can complete the task You've told us. Lord, I bless Your people. I bless them to go forth filled with Your Spirit, to share Christ with a dying world. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.